With that, back over to the operator, and we'll look forward to taking your questions.
The first question comes from the line of Máté Nemes from UBS. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, and thank you for the presentation. I have a couple of questions, please. Firstly, could you perhaps comment on foreign spend on credit cards? I think you showed that transaction volumes are now above pre-COVID levels, above 2019 levels. Certainly, that's what seems to be the case in the second half of the year. But I'm just wondering, how has the mix shifted and whether perhaps in December, maybe in January, you're seeing any improvement on foreign spend on credit cards? Secondly, a question on personal loans. The back of the envelope math seems to indicate to me that you've seen a slight improvement in yield on personal loans in the second half of the year. If you could confirm that and then maybe elaborate on the reasons for that. Then a question on the auto market. You clearly mentioned that you see supply chain challenges perhaps being an obstacle to growth. Have you seen any easing in those supply chain challenges at all in December or year to date? Did you see auto supply from OEMs or distributors improving? And finally, a question on loss rate. Given the still very cautious new lending, at least in H1 last year, is it fair to assume that the underlying loss rate for 2022 should be still quite close to the 0.8% that you reported this year? Thank you.
Yeah, good morning, Martin. Thanks for the questions. Let me take the one on the auto market first, if I may, and then I'll hand over to Pascal for the foreign spend, the yield, and Volker for the loss rate. So on the auto market, you're right. The supply chain challenges have obviously been a topic last year, and we frankly do see them continuing into this year. And I think that is echoed by, you know, if you read the commentary from importers, distributors alike. Now, I think the good news is, from our perspective, we're mostly in the used car segment, and shortage on the new car has actually pushed up used car prices a bit, and so that's helped our average ticket size. From that perspective, you know, I think, Malte, I'd say we're optimistic in terms of this market. You know, we've always said we like it. I think we've shown good performance in the second half. We expect good and resilient performance going through this year. And then again, with the improvements we're making around the operating model and the system there, I think some exciting prospects ahead as we exit this year and then head into 2023. That's what I'd say on the auto market, and I hand over to Pascal on the two other questions later to Volker.
So thank you, Matteo. So on the foreign spend, so in the cards business, obviously, so we start to see so the lifting of the travel restrictions already so in April, May, so last year. And if you can see on this page number 10, so with the card transactions volume, it's quite clear that the increase in volumes observed since April and May are largely driven by the increase in international spend, which ultimately transfer into the narrowing of the revenue gap we had compared to pre-COVID level, as you can see on the bottom side. But we don't disclose the split between domestic and international spend on our cards volumes. But obviously the drivers, as I said, for these reductions in the revenue gap, respectively, the growth in the transactions volume is also driven by this effect. Look, just to remind on the yield, we had basically on the yield in the P-loan business, we had 7.4% of the yield in 2020. At H1 2021, we had 7.1%, and we finished the year at 7%. I would like to repeat once again that the yield is also needs to be seen in the context of the overall development of the net margin. So first, on the yield side, in personal loan, there is a continued lower consumer demand for higher pricing. But there is also a change in portfolio mix following the Cashgate acquisitions. As an example, now we have homeowners offering with APR at 4.9%, but also at very low loss, very good as a loss performance. This is why, we introduce the concept of net margin or return on financing receivables, as pricing is only part of the story, and the net margin improves compared to 2020.
Excellent. Volker, you want to take the last question?
Yes, I'll comment briefly on the losses. And you're absolutely right, Marta, when in the beginning of 2020 the pandemic came, we were extra cautious in our new lending policies just to be prepared in case any unexpected developments would materialize. I think what should be mentioned, though, is that we started lifting these literally underwriting restrictions late in 2020, continuing also in the first half of 2021, more as a stepwise and cautious approach. And all things being equal, this should also lead to that over time, the loss rate will gradually move back to the pre-COVID levels, longer-term levels, around 1% loss rate in total for the business. But what I want to highlight, though, is that this is a development that will not happen from one moment to another, because it takes some time until the credit risk is actually materializing into losses when you are writing the new volume. So over the next 1 or 2 years, we should move back to the levels that we have been seeing before. But we are also kind of still confident enough to say that the loss rate target level is less or equal than 1%. So it will gradually move.
Okay. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Daniel Regli from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. I have a quick follow-up on personal loans. Can you maybe talk a bit about your growth expectations for this year? I think if I take the numbers correctly, receivables were again down slightly in H2. And then secondly, can you maybe...
Mr. Regli, your line is muted.
Yeah, excuse me. I'm back. I had a call coming in. Maybe quickly on the FTE number, can you maybe... I just saw that this was down in H2 by 2%. Is this already, a consequence you made out of the news we had during the year, or is this just natural fluctuations? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Dan. Good morning. Thanks for the question. So I'll take the personal loan question and then hand over to Pascal for the FTE. Look, personal loans last year, I'd say two distinctly different halves, right? First half was quite disappointing. As I said, we have been able to stabilize second half, so significantly better than the first half, with slight reduction, as you're saying. I think on the outlook, and I would broaden this a bit, if I may, the businesses overall, right? Look, we expect the businesses, and we have the ambition for the businesses to grow in line with the broader consumer economy and the market, and that's the outlook here. We've also always said, as you know, right, that we do not want to buy ourselves growth, right? We're cautious on that given our market positions. But we do expect to evolve in line with where the market's heading, where the consumer economy is heading across the products. Let me hand over to Pascal for the FTE question.
Yeah, look, indeed, as all the FTE has already reduced from the first half of the year to the second half of the year. At the end of June, as we had 934 FTEs, now the 916, not related as all to the strategic activities we are doing. It's more our cautious approach to cost management. Carefully assessing as well discretionary spend and also taking the necessary measures in the context of low revenues. So in that sense, nothing strategic, it's more part of the day-to-day business.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Andreas Venditti from Vontobel. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my questions. Maybe one on the yields in general. Maybe you can provide an outlook by business there. Then another one in terms of funding. I've seen that the term has come down again. Maybe there as well. What we should expect in this regard. Maybe a smaller one on expenses. You mentioned some one-off charges on one of the slides. Can you maybe quantify that? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for the questions. And Pascal, do you want to take these?
Yeah. So we refer to the one-off organization change in the OPEX side. So roughly, there was an increase of around a slight bit lower than 3 million compensation and benefits. So it's a mix between the average salaries represent around 1 million and the difference, the rest being more one-off impacts regarding organizations changes. The second question around the yield. Look, and once again, I repeat, but we are looking more and more on the net margin level, at the net margin level. Meaning, looking at pricing, obviously, the pricing is a very important component, but also looking at the after the risk of the cost allocations, because we might have simply the customer segments with low pricing but excellent loss performance, which in total make a lot of sense for the bank to underwrite. So of course, generally, if I think about the yield for P loan, ideally we would be able to stay around the 7%, but highly depending ultimately on the mix, on the business mix, and of course in the competition environment. Cards remain is expected to remain broadly stable, and the auto business, despite competitions, you would expect to stay within the level we are, but again depending on the competitions level. Finally, on the funding side, first, once again, we are pleased with the diversified and balanced funding profile we have today. In that sense, we also have slightly negative duration gap, which is certainly favorable in the context of possible interest increase in the future. But wouldn't expect this to continue to reduce so much.
The next question comes from the line of Michael Kunz from ZKB. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Two quick questions, please. On page 19, you have your financial targets till 2026. I cannot detect the payout ratio there. Is this has been deliberately dropped, or is this still implicitly valid if you want to grow the dividend in line with your earnings? And the second question refers to the appendix. On slide 27, you mention that you will switch to calculating expected credit losses instead of the current allowance loss calculation. Could you elaborate a little bit more on that one, what it means in detail? Thanks.
Yeah, thank you for the question. So I'll hand over to Pascal in a second on the payout ratio, and then Volker on the CECL question that you raised. Look, I mean, this year, right, as we just discussed, board's proposing 385. That gets us to, I believe, 70%. And we've confirmed how we think about the dividend going forward, right, increasing in line with sustainable earnings growth. Perhaps, Pascal, a word on the payout ratio to that.
Yeah. So, as we discussed during the Investor Day on December 7, so there is no payout target so anymore. Indeed, as in the past, we had this 60 to 70%. So we pay out last year 72%, this year so 70%. And the dividend outlook, as always, the way as we have defined, as always, clearly as expected to be at least now 385 as in 2022, and then from 2023. We intend to increase the dividend based on the sustainable earnings growth, subject to a minimum of the prior dividend per share. So no guidance anymore on the payout ratio.
Excellent.
Yeah, and then thank you for the question on CECL. It's a bit of a technical topic. It's about kind of the models that are used to calculate the allowances for losses. And for us in Chamra, the new method of calculating it becomes applicable according to the US GAAP standards from the beginning of 2023 on. And the difference is the following, that we're currently using an incurred loss concept for calculating the allowances, and in the future it's an expected loss concept. So it is more forward-looking and has simply different models behind on how to calculate it. Without going too much into the technicalities of it, I think the impact of it is that the reserve balances, so the allowances for losses, will on the 1st of January 2023, under the implementation of it, increase. It doesn't impact the loss provision afterwards as a P&L metric under US GAAP, but it has an impact on the starting balance of the year 2023. And the impact that we currently calculate is between 50 and 70 million. It doesn't mean anything for the credit quality of the portfolio itself. It's just a pure accounting thing.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Operator, any other questions?
There are no more questions at the phone at this time.
Good. Well, then, look, let me just briefly wrap up. And firstly, thanks, everyone, for dialing in. I think, look, 2021, strong performance. You know, we're pleased with the record net income. We are excited about the strategy that we worked on and that we set out for us to execute on. Simplification of operating model, IT transformation is kicked off. Our transition program for cards is on track. We can confirm that again today. We've got initiatives ongoing in terms of increasing customer focus and product differentiation. I'm poised to seize growth opportunities and look forward to the year and updating you on our initiatives as we go along. So thanks again, and we'll talk to you soon.